Good afternoon, everyone. How do you do? Nice to see you. Have you had a long day?
Yes, sir.
Was it a good day?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I had to double check. We all have the carnal nature. All right. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. Why are you hunting for your Bibles now? Why didn't you have them out? Oh, your right hand is up. Okay, read verse 7. Nice and loud. And breathed into his nostrils. And man became? Oh, what version do you have? Okay. Someone read Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Yes, my brother in the yellow, or whatever color that is. Made here and, unto the man. All right. Now, if you look at verse 7 of Genesis 2 and verse 22, in Genesis 2, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, in verse 22, the Bible says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. So God made a man in verse 7 and a woman in verse 22, which means that God made two adults. God did not form children. Is that clear? He made a man, he made a woman. Now the man and the woman were empowered by God physiologically to produce children. But God physically formed a man and physically formed a woman. Now, they were to populate the earth. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. And he gave them dominion. He told them, be fruitful and multiply. Could God have made 8 billion adults the same time he made two? Yes. Why didn't he? Why go through all the, let me be careful, hassle of having to raise children and change all those diapers? Why? Why not make 8 billion adults and just populate the earth and save a lot of time and worry and expense? All right. Say that again.
Nobody would have had anywhere to go.
No one would have had anywhere to go. I'm not sure what you mean theologically, but okay, I'll leave that alone. Let me suggest, as a result of God's method of working, making two adults and requiring that all other human beings come into the world as babies and be raised by the adults, this meant that every child from Cain to Christ and from Christ to whomever was born 5 seconds ago has to and has to grow up under the influence of others. What did I just say? Put it in your own words, but give me the same meaning. Okay, one person from this side, what did I just say? Every child from Cain, who was the first child born, up to the child born 5 seconds ago, had to and has to grow up surrounded by the influences of the adults in that life, in that household. Immediate and wider. What the child becomes, to a large degree, depends upon the kind of influence that is exerted on that child. When I came here on, when was it? Sunday. Was it Sunday? Yes. When did I get here?
Yesterday.
Sunday. Well, yesterday was Sunday. A little boy was somewhere. And when he saw me, he spoke first. He said, hi. And I said, hi, what's your name? He said, Caleb. How old are you? He said, 6. I said, Caleb, how old are you? 6. Then he corrected himself. He said 6. And he spoke to me very freely. Where's Caleb? He's studying Daniel Revelation somewhere. That's okay. But I was struck by his friendliness and his unafraid disposition. He just spoke to me. Now, quite clearly, he is being raised that way. Are you following me? Now, you go to the largest city closest to me, let's say Detroit. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. I was driving through Ypsilanti, a city where I go to church. And I was going through this neighborhood, and I saw this little boy. He's younger than Caleb, probably 5 or 4. And he has a cap turned around. You know, the pants all the way down here. And I'm driving slowly through the neighborhood. And so I looked at him, and he did this. You know what this means? In a black neighborhood, you want to fight? That's what he did to me. Watch this.
You want a piece of me? Now, where did he get that from?
The older boys surrounding him. So he wants to fight me. Because I'm driving through his neighborhood and he slaps his chest and the cap is turned around and he wants to pick a fight. So I just smiled and drove on. What am I trying to say? Influences are very, very powerful forces. They can shape you or they can deform you. What does deform mean? What does deform mean? If ever I use a word you don't know, put a hand up and say, what does that mean? What does deform mean? To do what? Say it again. Or to unshape. Okay. Yes, to turn something out of shape. Okay. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, I believe it is, verse 7. Someone go there. Romans 14, verse 7, I think it is. Who has it? No one has it. Okay, sister, read for us. Okay, let's pause right there. For none of us liveth to himself, and no one dieth to himself. Keep reading. Whether we... Verse 8. We are the Lord's. Now, listen to this verse. No one, none of us, liveth to himself. There's a very famous saying from a poem by a man called John Donne, a metaphysical poet back in the 17th century. He said, no man is what? Can anyone guess? No man is an island. What does that mean? What do you think it means? No man is an island. What do you think that means? First of all, what is an island? Okay, it's a piece of land entirely surrounded by... So in a sense, cut off from other bodies of land. Are you with me? It is surrounded by water, so it is cut off. Now, John Donne says, no man is an island. What does he mean? No man is by himself entirely cut off from the rest of humanity. Now, Ellen White says in Historical Sketches, page 143, paragraph 5, we are all woven together in the great web of humanity, and God holds us responsible for the influence we exert over others. Now, let me use a personal example. Again, from my high-level source of information, I was told that I was committing a sin yesterday, because I did not know one of your rules was shirts had to be tucked in. See, I didn't know that. So I spoke yesterday morning, shirt tucked out, and yesterday afternoon, my shirt hanging out. And apparently, I don't remember how the details went, but someone pointed to one of my brothers and said, you need to put your shirt in. And he said, but look at the preacher. Are you following me? Look at the preacher, his shirt is out. Now, I was exerting what? An influence. And based on your rules, what kind of influence was it? It was bad. Well, don't say bad so loudly. Please have mercy, I'm far away from home. Yes, it was a bad influence because a couple of my brothers wanted to do the same thing. Listen to me. The carnal nature is quick to copy what is wrong. Ah, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, when I said you didn't hear me, you're supposed to argue. You didn't hear me. Oh, good, good. All right. Yes, we did who? Or, okay. Ellen White writes, the tendencies of the natural heart are downward. Listen carefully. He who associates with a skeptic will become skeptical. He who chooses the companionship of the vile will most assuredly become vile. Adventist homepage 456, paragraph 2. It is natural for us to copy influences that are wrong. Ellen White tells us the Bible teaches that we exert an influence over others, whether we want to or not. Let me tell you something about influence. You cannot prevent yourself from exerting an influence. The moment you walk by, someone is influenced. What you can control is what? Whether the influence is good. Yes, that lies within your area of control, whether it's good. So when I found out that shirts had to be tucked in, I tucked in the shirt I wore to, lunch? No, dinner. A bright yellow Michigan shirt. I had it nicely tucked in, and I got this shirt today, so I tucked it in as well. Now, I brought two little jackets with me that are supposed to be worn on the outside. I don't know what to do. I'll see what I can do with those too. But I decided, no, I cannot walk around with my shirt outside because the influence would be harmful and God will hold me partially responsible for my influence. Let me bring it right home to you. You're between 12 and 17. That, I believe, is the age limit I saw on your welcome packet. Have you ever caused someone to do something wrong? Yes or no? So have I, but don't tell anyone. Now, the same way you led someone into doing something wrong, flip that to the opposite side. What do you think I want to say? Say it loudly, even if you're wrong. You can lead someone into doing something right. You and I can control the quality of the influence. We cannot prevent ourselves from exerting an influence. We can decide the quality of the influence. Because God will hold us responsible. Counselors to parents, teachers, and students, Ellen White writes on page 102, paragraph 2, God holds everyone responsible for the influence that surrounds his soul on his own account and on the account of others. So there's no such thing as that's your business, you do what you like. There's no such thing with God. We are held partially responsible. And so as we go about our daily business during the camp meeting for this week, encourage those around you to be early. By being early. Encourage them to be respectful by being respectful. Encourage them to memorize the text that you were taken through. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. By you working on it and letting them see you work on it. Bring someone to closer to Christ. Don't draw someone away from Christ. Influence. God deliberately arranged that every child from Cain up to this day would be raised surrounded by influence. But God's intention was the influence would be wholesome, beneficial, and a blessing to that child. Someone asked me this morning at the morning service, how do you memorize Bible verses? Let me tell you how it happened. And I gave some information which is different from what I'm giving now. When I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I began going to a local church, and there was an elder of the church. He had been sick about 12 years on his back, and all he read was the Bible. When God raised him from his sick bed, he had stored so much of the Bible in his head that whenever he preached, the Bible was open on the pulpit, but he never looked down. Now, I was about 12 or 13. I'm sitting in the pew watching this man. What do you think I said to myself? Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, all right. That's not exactly the words I used, but I understand your meaning. I sat there and I said in my heart, I would love to do that. Now, he died never knowing the influence he exerted over me. One of my great joys is memorizing Bible verses and LOI quotations. I do it every day, all the time. When I'm in my room, I'm going through quotations, going through verses all the time, 7 days a week. So when I need them, they come to me automatically. Now, that is the result of an influence. A second influence on my life. I will serve Christ until I die. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But my heart is to serve Christ. I was influenced by my mother. I grew up seeing my mother pray and pray and pray. Always praying. Always being honest with the neighbors. I saw that, and as a child, I wanted to be honest like my mother. I wanted to have a relationship with God that my mother had. And so those are two influences that have been exerted upon me, for which I am very grateful. Now, I have suffered from other kinds of influences that I don't need to discuss. But the power of God can eventually immunize you against those kinds of influences. My message to you is exert the right kind of influence. As long as you're alive, you are exerting an influence. Be responsible for someone's salvation. Do not be responsible for someone's damnation. You may get the bottle. I'm so sorry it rolled away. Please grab it, but don't fall into the fire. All right, there you go. Now, before I go, let me say something about memorizing the passages you've been given. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. In Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 601, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes these words. Listen carefully as you memorize. The power of self-restraint strengthens by exercise. Listen carefully now. That which at first seems difficult, by constant repetition, grows easy. What did I just say? That which at first seems by constant grows, and the quotation ends, and right thoughts and actions become habitual. Ah, I like that. Listen to me again. That which at first, chemistry, math, algebra, obeying your parents, that which at first seems difficult. What's the next few words? By constant repetition, finish it, grows easy, and right thoughts and actions become habitual. Listen, by the power of God and by your own determination, we can do right as habitually as we do wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you allowed to say amen in this camp? Yes, sir. All right. Okay, I've never heard it. That was the first time. I want to urge you, work on the verses. Work on them. I'll tell you something else. As you memorize the verse, don't just memorize words. Understand what the verse is saying. Are you with me? Once you get the meaning of the verse, the individual words will come. Get the meaning of the verse. Once you have that, the individual words will come in the assigned order in the version that you're using, the King James, I believe. And so I leave with you again the words of Ellen White. We are all woven together in the great web of humanity. And God holds us responsible for the influence we exert over others. And so by the grace of God, by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, try by your behavior, by your speech, by your conduct in the food line, to exert an influence that is a blessing and not a curse. Any questions? You said no too quickly. No questions? Everything clear? Like mud? Yes, sir. Okay. You're sure there are no questions? Oh, is there a hand? Yes, my good brother Sheldon. No, I didn't know. I didn't know, but I needed to know. So I was informed by a man of God. And so, you see, ignorance is no excuse of the law. That's a secular standard. God does not revel in ignorance. God wants people to know. So, yes, I didn't know, Brother Sheldon. Thanks for being kind. But I'm glad I know now. But my ignorance did not stop my brother from saying, but his shirt is out. Are you with me? So, let's get away from ignorance as much as we can. Anything else? Any questions? All right, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, take us through the rest of this evening. Let your angels protect us and your spirit direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.